Welcome to the Roth Show.
Baby, you're a beautiful shining star of superstition, and you know I've always told you that, but now it's official. You can look that up. That's actually the name of it. Beautiful Shining Star of Superstition. If you don't know what a mashup is, this is the one for you. A mashup is a combination of several different songs in the same key and the same kind of a beat, and you can mix them together. The first time I ever heard this was early 60s with Leonard Bernstein, 1965, going, Mixolydian, which was You Really Got Me, came out in 1965. You would know it as Turkish. By the way, meatballs, not Swedish. Turkish. You can play Mixolydian mode over My Country Tis of Thee, and Lenny would do that. He would play You Really Got Me with his right hand on the piano, and with his left hand, he would play My Country Tis of Thee, and you go, wow, mashup. But you wouldn't say mashup because they hadn't invented the term yet. Nevertheless, that went together. The first time I ever did a mashup was with saxophone playing Ida Rose or Lida Rose from 76 Trump was the Music Man. And they do that exact mashup maneuver. They don't call it a mashup. You call it stacking if you're being really technical. But you mix Lida Rose with Sing, Sing a Song. It sounds a whole lot better than that. And ultimately, they play each song separately, and then they stack them together. And the guy's doing Barbershop Quartet going, Lida Rose, I'm home again, Rose. Doing just like that. And then the women start sounding, sing a song, and it goes together just perfect like. And that's a mashup. Wait until you hear Earth, Wind, and Fire going with Van Halen's Beautiful Girls, and I'm going to save what the surprise is because there's a surprise that happens at the end of the song. So I'm not going to give you the full disclosure yet. But this is on the net. Look this up in the grid, yo. Tom, you've seen this. Was I the one that introduced you to this,
or
did you show this to me?
You showed it to me.
Okay, because there are a number of other great mashups that are happening out there. Is it the same fella? It might be the same fella. He's got great taste, whoever he is.
He's got about five or six that he's done, but there are many, many mashups on YouTube that you can find, different artists, different
classic
music.
Mashup for us is 120, 126 beats a minute, because all Van Halen music, the hits, are really girl-friendly. You got to be able to dance to the Van Halen material. Even though it's real spiny hard rock, it's girl-friendly. It's dressed up if you want to see it that way. Way downtown below 14th Street, but some see it as punishment. Some see that shit as sexy. Meet you at 14th.
Wow. The Roth Show.
The Beautiful Girls gels with Shining Star from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Makes perfect sense because they were both written at about the exact same time. That's what an acoustic band, a band that is using real instruments, well, not real, but hand-played instruments like an actual bass guitar, actual drumming that you have to impact with strength, compared to the awesome sound of digital drums, which you're not hitting, you know, from the waist. The running story being that if you're really playing drums like Alex Van Halen, it's like boxing. It starts at the feet and you throw. There's an emotional content that goes into it, perhaps, that you don't find in digital, but you compensate for with a bigger sound, perhaps. There's always a balance, and art is choices, man. 1976, you had to be able to play music that people would dance to. They didn't have sound systems in the local clubs and the local bars and the local gallerias. You had to have combos. You had to have bands. That's where Van Halen started from. That's where all of classic. If you listen to the Groove Channel and the Soul Channel, which is right next to BPM in area on the Sirius XM, you'll hear everybody there is playing actual instruments like you would have to learn at the band or the orchestra or the music room over at the music store. You would have to be able to read the music, and you would, well, for me, we had to rent the first saxophone that I learned on, and I did it at Altadena Elementary School, and then ultimately I went to junior high school and I was in the marching band, the Elliott Marching Band Huskies. Today, you look at what's happening with marching bands, it's a little bit like what I saw starting in the California busing program. California busing program, I think it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, passed the Civil Rights back 1964, 65, something. And in 66, 67, the first buses left, and they left in Pasadena. This is the home of Jackie Robinson. This is famous territory here. And with the Rose Bowl and everything, there's a lot of work, a whole lot of opportunity for people down on Millionaires Row. Altadena, where my family started off, Altadena have homes that are the size of the garages down on Millionaires Row, but everybody is cross-building, and everybody's going to wind up at Huntington Hospital or what was St. Luke's Hospital sooner or later. And at that point, everybody kind of looks the same in a hospital smock, except me. Remember my tattoo? Ooh, baby, you don't love me. Read me. The nurses love me, especially going. Woo! It wasn't until late 70s that Sirwin Vega specifically created bass bins and speakers that were cheap enough, light enough that you could put them up into the corners of the ceiling of any kind of bar, any kind of club, any kind of place that even had a salad bar. And that was really familiar throughout Southern California. You had places that were restaurants by day, and at night they would move the tables to the side so that people could dance. This was from the beginning of the 70s, Superfly era, 1970 up until late 70s, but there was no such thing as the wheels of steel because that meant equipment. And equipment was not available for the working fellas and the kinds of places that, you know, they're just not that big. So who knew what power amps and equalizers were until the late 70s. Suddenly, you showed up at the something gardens or the Continental Gardens or so, it would be named something like that. And the brothers, the Armenian brothers here in Pasadena, it was inevitable. You'd say, "Hey, Al, what's cooking?" And, "Oh, my brother, we are having dancing." and you would look at the floor and go, "No, brother, look up." And you would see the speakers. They were inevitably up in the corners. And when that became affordable, then dance bands, club acts like ourselves, Van Halen, we were a five-act club. It was five sets a night, five 45-minute sets a night. We had a list of probably 200 different songs. Tear off the left-hand side of the Billboard Hot 40 charts, okay, and learn it. And you should have heard this band play Casey and the Sunshine Band. We would go, "Get down tonight, get down tonight, in harmony, get down tonight. Do, 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 get down tonight." And you would have to play all the parts depending on who was sick, who had a cold, who was late to get to the gig or rehearsal. So I personally had "Get down tonight, boom, boom, get down tonight," all the way up to, let me see if I can hear. "Down tonight, get down tonight." And you have no idea what time of the morning this is here. By the way, I lost the will to continue. I did. And I quit. I walked away from it, Tom. I threw down. I took the glasses off. I tore the jacket from my shoulder. And I turned left, hit the road, kept on going. And the outpouring of love, the shouting, "David, no! You have to return. Tell us more. Enlighten us." It was too much. That was last night, and I came back this morning. I heard you. I feel you. Now don't forget to subscribe and hit like. It's always a trade-off, Tom. Is he watching? He's watching.
The Roth Show.
I've played charity gigs now where you have the stage that's about 8 inches tall. Not 8 feet, 8 inches tall. When you play a place like the Forum or Madison Square Garden or somewhere, you want a 6 to 8 foot deck so that you can see from your toes all the way to your head, like this. And ladies, what you want is to wait for the singer so that you can have an 8 foot dick too. Uh-oh. Okay, that was intentional. It was wrong. It's the Me Too, but not you, Dave. And so I want to come full circle here. I want to come back around. It's more like a reach around. Uh-oh. Okay, California reach around where it's up here. okay, that didn't work either. If you wanted to get a job in music, you had to do 5 and/or 7 sets a night, 45 minutes, play every kind of possible music that you could because you were going to play on a lot of events and gigs and so forth that you had no idea. Van Halen, we even backed up other vocalists, female vocalists, for example, for television shows. And we would, I've tried to find this on the grid. This was way early. But we had one gal, I forget her name. She was feisty. She was trouble. And she fed right into all the stereotypic, archetypic stories about trouble with vocals. The fact is, all vocalists are trouble. Our body is our instrument, so no matter what, it's not like I can get another guitar or if somebody, if this breaks, I can't just go whatever. The musicians who take the biggest beating on the stage are the vocalists and the drummer. I scream and yell, and you got to be aerobic at the same time that drummer's taking impact over and over, and then you get that shivers. It's like getting mildly tackled over and over and over again. And my job is all legs and lungs. All of my training is singing along with them constantly on that bicycle. There's no rugs in this entire house because you got to move and groove and do it like a. I can see this on the monitor. You're getting dreamy. You're getting ready to subscribe. You're getting ready to like. You like so much. Now you're encouraging others to subscribe. Okay, let's get back to the point.
Shake. Your booty. This important public message has been brought to you by Ink the Original, theoriginal.com.
Van Halen ultimately was one of the best dance bands ever because you could play any sort of music with our crew. It could be funky and it could be chunky. We could play the best of ZZ Top. We could play the best of Deep Purple. Even we found Black Sabbath material and Grand Funk Railroad material that was out of this world smoking. More familiar material, Walk This Way. We played that 3 times a night. And it was the very best. Van Halen was a 70s band who enjoyed our success and gave access to a whole lot of fellas who found resource and inspiration from what we did. But our inspirations were classic Ziggy, Freddie, Eric. Come on, you got to guess the last names here. Richie. It's Blackmore. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, yes, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones. Then on the pop charts, it was everybody that Tedesco played with. It was the Wrecking Crew. It was Motown. Most of my heroes, almost all of them, wore suits to work. And yes, that included the Stones and the Beatles. And you were either quintessentially a Stones man or a Beatle man. This was a source of contention on a lot of playgrounds. And I was on that playground. There were other playgrounds. Tom, I think I demonstrated to you the Frankenstein role.
You did.
First time I ever did that. And you probably went home with your girlfriend, okay, and practiced this,
yeah,
didn't you? You
absolutely
share these things.
I
know
do.
That you're learning. You're pretending like myself. You pretend that you're not learning anything because it encourages others to try harder. And I like that about you because I see myself reflected in your eyes, Tom, and I like the way you're thinking. So you went home and you practiced the Frankenstein role. I'm more interested in what your girlfriend thought of you practicing. Okay. She probably thought you rolled that right leg up because you bought a bicycle. A successful venture into wellness, health, well-being, and becoming connected more to nature, right? But
yeah,
that's all fucked up. She was wrong, right? You
right.
were going to practice the Frankenstein role. Okay. And what I shared with him, and I learned this first time when I was, I don't know, fifth, sixth grade with George Somas. You roll one of your legs up like so that you can really see where your foot's going, because you're going to slip off the curb. Put one foot up on the curb, okay? Sometimes you even take the shoe off. I don't recommend that at first, okay? And you practice rolling down the curb. Remember, one foot's up on the curb, other one's on the gutter. Here we go. And you're going to go boom, 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 boom. And it sounds like Frankenstein. I added the laugh. Frankenstein never laughed. Okay. And by the way, Frankenstein was the doctor. The creature was what named the creature. Did you know that?
I did.
You'll win drinks with that one. Mm. Okay. And you practice the rule like so. And then you add a little swagger to it. And then you step off the curb when you feel that you've cross-trained sufficiently. You step off the curb and you start. I like to do the fuck face. It goes like this, like you're about to. See that? And I'm rolling. And then I give a little laugh. Yeah. Pretend to fix my glasses and shit. Pretend necktie move. And you can come to a stop when you're really good and still be walking. Yo, baby, come see about this. I have a surgically implanted disco beat. Every Al Green song fits right with it. Put your hair right. Talk to a whole nation, baby.
The Roth Show.
Classic original Van Halen could play any size, shape, stage, you bet. If it was an 8-inch stage, I'd make the joke that, hey, last time I was on a stage like this, I had to have the car and the keys back by 11. We played everywhere from really refined high school like LaSalle, where I believe Princess Megan comes from. All right, she went to school. She was alma mater up there. We played the Mayfield School of the Holy Child of Jesus. And at the same time, we'd play a biker bar out in Pomona. Fella got killed right in front of us while we were playing LaGrange. Finished the song, too. Next night, just as a matter of self-defense, we pulled the amps out from the back wall. Stage wasn't that big, about 18 and a half inches, just enough to squeeze our skinny bodies in between the amps and the wall in case there was trouble out on the dance floor. You know, up at LaSalle, at Megan's place. Them Catholics, they feisty. And though we played a lot of different kinds of music and to all different kinds of neighborhoods, that was because the Van Halens were quintessential internationals who didn't even speak English as a first language. They were Dutch. Their mother was Indonesian. And I'd come from all over by the time I was a teenager. I'd lived in tiny little student housing, been running around out in fields, made it to student housing that was a little bit bigger in Boston, of all places, and came to Southern California for any of the great outdoors, which meant skateboards and stingray bicycles. Boom! We were used to being everywhere. And ultimately, our parents weren't, I'll just do one kind of thing for a living kind of folks. They knew there was a big world out there, and we were about to go out into the territory. Music was going to be our passport. We wanted to speak a lot of languages. We wanted to have 17 different kinds of hamburger. And what is this, Turkish? These are Swedish. No, these are Turkish. Make no mistake, there was a clear separation between church, state, and different neighborhoods in the 1970s. In the 1970s, integrational busing was still a big deal. I went to schools that were 95% Black and Spanish-speaking. Tom, how many African-American, how many Black kids were there in your high school graduating class percentage-wise, at or about? And you were in Ohio, correct?
I was in Ohio, right. A town called Elyria. I'm going to say between, it's definitely over 50%.
All right. In my class, for example, in Mrs. Mintz's third period homeroom, I think there were three of us pale faces. I don't qualify as a pale face in a federal penitentiary. I have to go with the others. You know, the white Aryan Brotherhood's a little cheesy. And Cindy Yamazaki, who was always good at math. that was one of the next voter blocks that's coming along. The Japanese, Chinese, Spanish-speaking. The running story was that at UCLA, there were only 15 Hispanics and that seven of them were the gardening crew. That may have been true. Today, I'm going to guess at least half, if not three quarters, have some connection to Spanish speaking. And I'm going to add in the Portuguese that Brazil does. And I'm going to guess that the salad bar is now way improved and that the entire commissary in terms of we cater to the student body and the student body demands things in Farsi, Urdu, Wolof, Eche, Portuguese, Brazilian, not Portugal, because that's over in the international food court. Yes, we know the difference. The food when I was a student was horrible. It was grilled cheese sandwiches that weren't grilled. It was a hamburger that was mostly oatmeal in the middle, all right? The only good thing about going to school for me was the youth club dance. And the youth club dance was all Motown, which became Superfly and James Brown. And we even imitated the Spanish-speaking station because there was only one on AM radio. And I can still do it now, probably even better because I'm the appropriate age bracket here. Yeah. 24 horas, finalmente, aquí lo tienes. Which is why I think I should be the announcer in the Joe Rogan for Lucha Libre. See how I broke into that? What do you think? Should I be the announcer for Lucha Libre? Because I think I can do for Lucha Libre, which is now breaking into the 20,000 seat market. Huge. They're going to play the Forum, Madison Square Garden, everywhere in between. Orale. Tom, 50% of your graduating class is it?
Yeah.
They spoke the lengua.
Yeah.
Did you take the time to learn the lengua? Yes.
I was never good at Spanish.
But you can do this with your hands.
Oh, I can do all that.
Do that with one hand, Essie. Yeah. Do this. Let me see. Give me a shout out. Essie. Fucking hey. Okay. Grab your dick, man. I'm not going to look. Grab your dick, Tom. Fucking hey. Grab your dick and do this. Is he doing it? I'm not going to look. Fuck you, Essie.
The roof. The roof. The roof is on fire. Fire. We don't care. Let the motherfucker burn. The roof. The roof is on fire. Stay cool, baby. Stay frosty. Ink the original. InkTheOriginal.com.
John Muir High School is right out of Cooley High. It was up the down staircase. Pasadena High School, that was Jeff Spicoli and Ridgemont High. It was two very different kind of voter blocks. And yes, there was a collision early between the Van Halen brothers and myself. I always dress like this. In fact, this jacket is from fourth grade. I wore this to my bar mitzvah. No, well, not this jacket, but these glasses. And the Van Halens always had their hands in their pockets. And, you know, like you would do like this. And we parted our hair. Ultimately, I joined that crew as well. And you part your hair in the middle, you know, and it hangs down like this. And it's, you know, and you got to get your shoulders up. Like, dude, bro, what's up, man? Hey, Tom, man, what's up? It's like Slater in that movie, you know, with the hat, the peach basket hat. And he goes, bro, man. You got anything to smoke, bro? You want to go have a cigarette? Come on, man. Let's go outside. And you get out there and three people smoke a cigarette, man. Whoa. That's Cindy Paloma, man. She's fucking hot, bro. Don't hotbox that thing. For me, from seventh grade on, it was the role. See, you don't actually go anywhere after a while. You occupy your space, baby. Like you have an inner soundtrack like that. And for the first 3 years of junior high school, my inner soundtrack sounded like somewhere between like Mission Impossible and Shaft. It still kind of is. But I felt totally comfortable going to see Deep Purple out at the Swing Auditorium with Eddie Van Halen, which was... And the amps extended, I think, from San Bernardino to Santa Monica. That was the amp wall. We, of course, mimicked that later on in our career. And there was a great balance. my sister comes to me and she says, Dave, it's 1976. I mean, she has to remind me occasionally. She says, Earth, Wind, and Fire has the best show ever. You got to see it at the Forum. I just saw it at the Forum. It doesn't occur to me that this is an entirely different voter block in 1976. And I turn to Eddie at some point and I say, come on, let's get some tickets. We'll go out to the Forum. We're going to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire. He doesn't really know what Earth, Wind, and Fire is about. He's very, very much steeped in Eric Clapton, hard rock guitar, and much prefers it when it comes to listening to it. So I don't know that Ed really knew what Earth, Wind, and Fire really was about when I said. And in fact, if you think about it, it sounds like a Billy Cobham record. It sounds like it could be Mahavishnu Orchestra or a Jeff Beck kind of a thing, right? It's not faintly spiritual. Could be jazz. This is during the Bitches Brew era. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Dave introduced him to Mahavishnu Orchestra, John McLaughlin, who's playing kind of raga music and unbelievably blistering fast lyrics, 75th notes, along with Jean-Luc Ponty and Billy Cobham. If you don't know these names, go ahead and tube them and you'll see. These are a blistering mind. I don't think Eddie made a differentiation or knew the distinction between that and Earth, Wind, and Fire, arguably at one of their peaks. So we get into the 69 Opel Kadett station wagon, the front half of which is sticking out of the wall in my front hall now. It's a very rock star thing to do. That car was so small, and I got so many thousands of miles out of it, and the entire club history is written on the accelerator and the mileage odometer right there. Every single mile has a story to go with it and an excuse and a rationale. So I had somebody torch off the very front of the engine lid. In fact, we'll take a picture of it and we'll post it. Boom! There it is. And we jumped into the 1969 Opel Kadett station wagon. Remember what we looked like. I then had the Tarzan haircut. We had the Tarzan haircut. But, you know, every meal at that point, because we were no longer living at home, started with this. And you look around and you sort of move the change around. And then you look up at the menu and decide what you're going to have for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, depending on what time it was. So it's a lot of hands in the pockets. And we drive into the Forum parking lot. And it becomes clearly evident to Ed that this is not a Deep Purple gig. And as we walk into the Forum, there's 20,000 people. I'll be perfectly direct. There's 20,000 screaming, enthusiastic, lit up, switched on African Americans and two white boys. Take your time with which ones you think those might be. Let's navigate these next social waters politically carefully. That's right, it was us. Every time we play the Forum, and I've played the Forum a dozen times since then, I look up to the 50-yard line all the way at the top from where you stand in the singer's position at the Forum. It's the exact same at Madison Square Garden. You look, and halfway back, I call it the 50-yard line, and then all the way up where people who do this before dinner, you know the salute. Okay. I'll have the number 3, but the small fries, please. We would sit up the 50-yard line all the way up there, and that's where Eddie and I sat. And I think he was a little bit frozen. Again, English was not his first language. Moving to the United States at some point in grade school, he was immersed in every kind of orale, black culture. And this was when James Brown had a whole bunch of school kids. It was school kids singing the chorus of, I'm black and I'm proud. And then there were kids like me singing along with them and not blinking. And there's a lot of people were blinking when they'd see us on television. I'm black. I'm proud, Tom. You know that, don't you?
The Roth Show.
Let's define the context a little bit. Pasadena High School marching band was very, very white. The John Muir marching band was very, 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 And you'll decide which one you wanted to be part of, because I would go to both football games. I had friends on both sides of the coin, okay? the Pasadena marching band would walk in and the drums would go. Like this. And everybody, you know, would do the cadet. Kind of like West Point traditional, you know, with a strap that goes here and like this, and everybody would march. Very traditional Eisenhower era, 1940s, 1950s. Like so, very familiar. Maybe 80 kids working in this high school band. Very tight, very sharp, very specific, but very clean cut, butch whacked, crew cut. Like this. You would go to the John Muir pep rally or your introduction before you became in 10th grade, whatever that is, the newbie, right? And you would be sitting in the John Muir auditorium, and they did this routinely. It was a famous scenario that they would play out, and they would trick you because the guy up front would get your attention and he'd go, ladies and gentlemen, and he'd get a little quieter. I just would like to introduce you to the John Muir Drum Corps. And from behind you, they would start the most memorable beat you would ever hear. It would go. And that shit would change your fucking haircut and your perspective on everything for the remainder of all until the last syllable of time. If you had a pair in your pants or a hair on your ass, and we did. And they didn't march like this. You would instantly turn, you would pivot like that, and then here would come the march, and they would be, instead of that scratch, they're doing that, they're like this shit, and they're spinning. The shit is spinning. It's gonna spin out of control, and I'm gonna fucking spin out of control. You decided right there. John Muir, baby. Brilliant team, fucking blue. And they're coming down, they come marching down. Whoa! The only beat that possibly could even compared to that in my entire musical historic career would be. We all know, okay? I'm so fucking sorry, but I'm not. You can tell it made an impression. And man, that was get before me, man, this means war. And we would go to the football games, and I could go from side to side. And I had friends, I had girlfriends, I had pals up both sides of it, together like this. And Pasadena High School, remember, I still got swagger. I can see it on the monitor. You got to drop the swagger for Pasadena High School. Like so. Okay, great. And they would chant things, we like it, we love it, we want more of it, we like it, love it, we want. And I'm even breaking the rhythm. They wouldn't do that. The cheerleaders were all white guys, okay, with crew sweaters and stuff, PHS, Bulldogs like this. And they'd be doing, you know, jumping jacks and this kind of thing. You know, we like it. We love it. Give us more of it. And it was sort of like the Niedermeyer bunch, you know, and the fraternity and Animal House, the squares. Over on the John Muir side, it would be, the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We don't care. Let the motherfucking burn. And the other side of the stadium, Jesus, they said the M word. Yeah, that's right. We're going to say it again. Right when we're done with this. Ultimately, it didn't matter if we won or not. We felt like we did, and that's what accounted for us. And I can tell you where we went to get something to eat and what we had there on the very next episode. But we would listen in our cars amongst many of the other acts to Earth, Wind, and Fire at one of the peaks of their career. So now you understand why there was potential friction between Eddie Van Halen and myself. Okay, Mr. Van Halen, his father, Jan Van Halen, and I got along great. He was a true international. Felt at home everywhere. We were younger. Now, cut to Eddie and I were sitting at the 50-yard line up at the top of the Forum. It's 20,000 people. Excuse me. 19,987 African-American, Black, and Hispanic people and Eddie and I. I felt home everywhere. I feel at home today. I'm like my old dog, Russ. I'm pretty much relaxed for wherever we are. And you could tell it was a little bit uptight, but the music was astonishing. Earth, Wind, and Fire, when they're absolutely smoking hot at the top of one of their games there. Phil Bailey hitting that note, you know, Reasons. I know, you're thinking, Dave, what did that music ever, what do you have against that music? Reasons. How many drunks would go, Reasons, and sing to a pretty girl in a bar, right, like this? Visually, I've always maintained Verdeen White on the bass was one of the show-stopping Steelers of all time. You'd have the singer going, Sonny what? Like this. But Verdeen White, still to this day, and if you want to see these guys, they're still red hotter than red hot. Mothership's over in Las Vegas. That's where you're going to get the best sound. That's where you're going to get the best visual, the best seat. It's Earth, Wind, and Fire, okay? And Eddie and I watched the show. He's thrilled with the show. But we're kind of fish out of water. We let the place empty out. Remember the little shitty little, you know, car that I was driving? And we wait until pretty much everybody's gone. And we come slow. Most of the cars have left the parking lot now. We wanted to see the set. We wanted to see the lights with the lights on in the building. We walk outside, and there's almost no cars. There's one, two cars, and then my car. And we walk over to my car, and we're dressed, you know, in our jeans, in our jean jackets, and we got our hair down like this. And we walk out there, and a hoodie pops out in front of us. He's got his hood on, and he's got his hand inside of his shit just like this. And he goes, yo, motherfucker, you got any money? We froze. And I could tell that Eddie was a little more froze than me. So I had to cover, because this whole adventure was my idea, right? And I realized I better come up with something serious. So I stepped right in front and I went, do we look like we have any fucking money? Homeboy pauses for a second. Nah, you don't. It takes Eddie Van Halen never spoke to me again. And when he did, it was an unkind word. Now you understand.
The Roth Show, brought to you by Ink the Original.